Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Do you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father, living in me, who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am the Father and that the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
What are we waiting for? How are we waiting? Is hope there in the waiting? I once waited for an aeroplane in expectation, in so much exhaustion, after many days of really difficult work, that I missed my flight. Stupid perhaps, but in the waiting room there was rising hope. I was getting out of there. Such a relief poured out of me that I just relaxed into my seat and I didn't mind missing that plane. In fact, I really enjoyed the waiting. Waiting in the airport for the next flight to take me away. I was so pleased to be waiting to go home. There's waiting in all forms of life. Waiting in suffering. Waiting in grief. Waiting when we've undergone a really horrific operation that has gone successfully, but pain dwells in the very fibre of our being. We can wait in agony, in desolation, but also perhaps in hope for a new dawn, for healing and for recovery. One of the hardest days of my life came when I was waiting and singing at the same time. I was singing my heart out, quite literally putting all my love from all of my being into song as my dear dad breathed his last morning of air. He'd been suffering for months. And we all knew that the time was imminent for his departure from our lives. But at the same time, we didn't really believe that it was going to happen. Waiting in that place of, how can this be? On arrival at the hospital, I asked him if there was anything that I could do that might help him then. And he said, just sing. And so I sang. I sang from song to hymn to old folk music, into the tongues of angels, into the joy of being with my gorgeous brothers and my mum, into this utterly surreal space between heaven and earth as we surrounded Dad for that last time, pouring my waiting into the sadness of what was happening. I was being wrenched apart inside. but I was determined to see Dad off, wrapped in kindness, being utterly present and most foolhardy, knowing that I might put all my eggs in God's basket, as we had lost control of all other outcomes. Hanging on to that trust in God, I sang and I waited through the depth of those bizarre moments. I'm sure some of my singing was strangulated cats, some perhaps beautiful lament. I'm sure some was little lost girl. But we did carry on singing, and Dad did finally stop breathing a few hours later. Thank goodness, really. The pain of seeing him in pain was really hard to bear. I'm sure some of you know that gut-twisting upset that comes from witnessing someone you really love fighting to stay in their body despite the nature of illness taking over. In the end, I said to Dad that it was time to go, that we loved him, that he was safe in God's brilliantly strong arms. We are all here. We are all safe, but that it was time. And to my surprise, he listened and he went, just like that. Wow, death is such a weird thing, isn't it? People just leave our lives in a moment, and it never fails to feel like an oddness. Something so difficult for humankind to comprehend. So welcome to today's message. We are encouraged by John. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. There are many rooms in my Father's house. The words are often read at funerals. The passage contains promise after promise that are profoundly comforting in the face of death. However, this is not just about life and death, but about our lives here and now, the now here. In the face of loss, in the face of waiting on a new season, what do we cling to? Where do we place our trust? Do we sit in the waiting room with despair? With despair as a friend? Or with the rising hope, knowing that the Father is sitting around us? So we take a glimpse back at the Last Supper. Jesus has washed his disciples' feet, foretold his betrayal by Judas. Judas has slipped out into the night. Jesus has told his friends that he will not be with them for long, that they cannot come along where he is going. He's told the lovely, kind Peter that shortly he will deny knowing Jesus at all. So no wonder the disciples are worried. The ground is shifting beneath their feet. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Here in these words, we encounter the living God, the creator of the world, the word of life standing amongst us humans, the infinitely loved, eternal radiance of his essence, Jesus. Through believing and receiving him, we are connected to the Father and so share in eternal, supernatural life even today in the now here. John writes, Jesus shows us how he and the Father team up to overcome our unholy anxiety and give strength and peace to carry on in walking in the way of the sacrifices of love. He does this by calling us to trust him. Verse 1 and 11. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And believe in me. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. To believe and to trust bring a strong protection around our hearts, so anxiety has less of a hotbed to grow. Don't be troubled. Trust me. Trust God. And twice in verse 11, believe me. Believe. Trusting Jesus for who he really is and trusting God are included in each other. Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. The point is, don't be troubled. Trust me, and in trusting me, trust God. He is trustworthy. Jesus had told them at the Last Supper that he was going away. He had told them that they could not go with him. And he had told Peter that he was going to pretend he didn't even know Jesus. In other words, I'm leaving you, and you will be so scared that you won't even make it through the night without me. And then, don't be troubled. Trust me. Trust God. He's saying it to you now. And the reason you might trust Jesus, my Father has many rooms in his house, and each of you will have one. Breathe it in. God's house is large. It has many rooms. He won't run out of space. It's big enough to take us all, the whole of creation. His children live with him in his house, and there is a place just right for you. Jesus is preparing it himself for your occupation. So trust him. Your room awaits. So Peter and all us other fragile saints who follow Jesus so imperfectly, don't let your unholy turmoil rise in your heart. Trust Jesus. Trust God. You will have a place in his house. You are his child, and you have a home. You belong with him. So let's maybe confirm that sequence in our hearts. Yes, I'm leaving. No, you can't come with me now. Yes, you will be scattered in this night. But don't let your sorrow, don't let your fear, don't let your shame produce an unholy turmoil in your soul. Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust me. Trust God. Why? There is a place for you in my Father's house. You are his dearly beloved children. Be loved. Dearly beloved children. Be loved. I'm going to make a place ready. The dwelling place with God. This extraordinary presence of Jesus is the very essence of heaven. Every obstacle between us and our Father's home is about to be removed in the next 3 days through the death and resurrection of Jesus himself. Jesus is saying, I go to prepare a place for you. I open the way. I become the way you get there. I am the way. I am the truth you hold. You hold on to get there. I confirm the truth, and I am the truth. I am the life, the eternal life that you will enjoy. I purchase your life, and I am that life. In other words, Peter and the disciples, you and I do not need to be troubled. We don't need to be troubled in our souls. We experience life as imperfect, that we are imperfect, wrath-deserving, unworthy followers of Jesus. Our sin does not mean that the place in God's household is taken away or unsuitable. Jesus this night goes to become the way to the Father. He makes our room available, certain and perfect, for us to be eternally homed. So let not your hearts be troubled. Not only that, but also, I will be your dwelling, and I will get you there. I think this is one of the most lovely things to hear. I will take you to myself. Where Jesus is, there is heaven. The essence of heaven is the sublime presence of Jesus. So when he says, I go there to prepare a place for you, isn't the nubbins what he is saying? I go to the night, to the cross. I go through death for you. I go to Easter Sunday morning out of death for you, so that I myself might be your living dwelling place. Our God of vulnerability gives himself up to make a greater space for you in your vulnerability, to feel comfy, to relax into him, so that you give up yourself, so that he in turn has a greater space to show you the fruit of his love in you. I am your room in my Father's house, and I am not yet prepared to receive you there. I must die. I must rise. I must be glorified. I must intercede for you. And when I've done that, then I will be ready. I will come and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is talking of you being invited to a mega reunion with Christ. I will come again and I will take you to myself. Therefore, my beloved disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Trust. Trust me. I am coming for you. I will come. I will take you. I will come and take you to myself. And not only that, but also the Father is with you now. Six times Jesus says pretty much the same thing, that he and the Father are so profoundly one that his presence is the presence of God the Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him. You have seen him. I have been with you so long, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And when the next few verses, he says, I will be with you always, not just at my return. Well, how can that be? He's left. He's in heaven at the Father's right-hand side. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you. I will come to you. When the Helper, the Holy Spirit came, Jesus came. He dwells with you and will be in you. That Spirit of God dwells in you. That is the Spirit of Christ. He is right now more interested in your life, in your difficulty at living life, your parenting, your anxiety, your marriage, your singleness, your concern for your family, your failing health, your job, your loneliness. He's more interested in that than you can imagine. He did not come as an observer, but he came as a helper. Let not your heart be troubled. There is a mighty divine indwelling, and it goes like this. Where I am, you may be also. Know me, know the Father. See me, see the Father. I am in the Father, the Father's in me, the Father dwells in me, I will be your dwelling. You will do the works that I do in my name. Father is glorified in the Son. You can ask in my name and I will dwell in you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord will help you. John is telling us that mutual indwelling is the new work of God. This is Jesus' proclamation that as God is in him, he can be in us. Also, we can be in him and he is in us. Also, we can be in him as he is in the Father. We are invited to be comprehensively transformed in self-giving community by a loving community of God, three in one. So, I am the way, the truth and the life. Living in spirit, in loving, sacrificial service, Jesus offers himself as a blueprint for your humanness. So the truth he lives is only the real truth of God. The life he lives is the only life that manifests God. So the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. This comes from us living a life within the life he lived. Ask Jesus to show you the Father. He will. Ask Jesus to give you the Holy Spirit. He will. Ask Jesus to empower and help you for sacrificial, loving service. He will. Jesus calls us back to a fundamental relationship of trust and assures us that he is not abandoning us. The phrase in Greek is conditional. If you know me, and you do, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So from wherever there is healing, reconciling, life-giving work happening, this is the work of God. Wherever there is life in abundance, this is Jesus' presence in our midst. Sometimes we can be overcome by our experience of life, and it can be difficult for us to see Jesus at work. My biggest meeting with death came on a beach in Indonesia. I had been flown out a couple of weeks after the Boxing Day tsunami in 2004. And I stood on what had been a beautiful tropical beach. And it was backdropped with upended ferries, palm trees like matchsticks, flattened villages, and eerie silence. And it was really hard to breathe when you were stood there going, what now? And that feeling can hold you hostage. The what now after death kind of stops everything from working. The what now is that confusion, that unholy turmoil that rises up, pure fear, anxiety. I think it's a natural response to realizing that actually we don't have control over our lives. Shock and trauma. I ask God to kindly lift those two ugly sisters, shock and trauma, from our lives and the lives of those we love, that we may place our trust carefully, look to something bigger than our own sometimes shattered hopes and dreams. Death and loss can be so traumatic, but perhaps there's a way through. John writes, not only our life after death, but how about how Christ impacts our lives in the here and now? One of the hardest places to live is in the now here, the present. Sometimes we live in the past due to pain and situations that hurt us. Sometimes we try to live in the future, and our concern about that means that we live in a state of worry or anxiety. If we live in the past or in the future, we live nowhere. These places don't exist. We are called as Christians to split up nowhere into the now here. Now here is the only time where life actually is. This moment now. So how do we live our lives in the now here? Perhaps one way into this present realm without getting dragged back to the pain of the past or dragged into the worry land of the future is by practicing silence. Oh yes, that old chestnut. But we want to follow Jesus. So what did he do to process the world that he was living in and the glory that surrounded him? He went into gardens. He went off. He went into quiet places. He went away from people, away from conversation, to breathe, to sit, to pray. John the Baptist too. He was a wild desert man, out on his own. Silence of a broken land. Anna and Simeon waited all their lives. The quiet of the land. They waited. They were treated to the receiving the glory of our loving God as the boy Jesus, the actual word of God, was presented to them in the temple. Waiting, praying, sitting in a brew of trust. Call it a cup of tea. A cup of trust. We can chill in nature too. Look at a flower, a tree, sit by a river. Wait in God. Sit in the roominess of Jesus. prepared especially for us. Sit with animals who can't talk back, don't have an opinion. Dogs and cats are incredible role models in patience, waiting in love to share some more love. So how do we live in the world as it is, built on ego and power systems, and the world as it was made, the kingdom of heaven built on self-giving love? How to become citizens of both worlds without crashing out in fear, worrying about death, becoming too concerned for the pain of the past, too concerned for ourselves? How do we clean out our past hurts by talking therapy and prayer so that we might simply learn to wait in Christ? Even as we fall asleep each night, or sitting in front of a computer screen paralyzed because it's not working, in traffic, when one driver is not doing what you think he should, get a move on. We can take hold of that natural response to freak out, and we can embrace that moment. That moment, as a gift of life, is the now here. It's our choice whether to waste it or to breathe it in, to hope, to discover the perfect peace inside the wait. God has always been in union with an obviously imperfect humanity. Once we are aware that we participate in this union, we look out at reality from a much fuller reality that now has eyes larger than our own. This is what it means to live in Christ, to pray through Christ, to do anything in the name of God. Before the creation of the world, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit set their love upon us. Before the creation of the world, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit set their love upon us and planned to bring us to share and know and experience that Trinitarian life. Love flows in and out, breathe it in, sit in the love, learn it, you are surrounded by it, walk in it. And then by love, we have a shield of protection to cover us on our journey through the world in compassion and courage. Christ is risen today in me. Christ is risen today in you. God is perfectly hidden and perfectly revealed in every moment of our lives. All we have to commit to is learning to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. So I'm disciplining myself through waiting, through prayer, through listening, waiting to be transformed by the very essence of God himself, who is with me all the time. And importantly, allows me to enjoy the now here. I think we all come here today with some hope, some need, some expectation. We show up and we wait. The reality is that in each moment, God's Spirit is waiting with us. God is already with us, waiting for us to recognize him and his love. You are beloved. How are we waiting? Let's dwell in the waiting as we recognize the peace of God that is present with us in this moment, now and forever. Amen. We have a chance to practice the waiting now here, shall we? Let's breathe in the love of God, our Father, his Son, and the Holy One. Silence vibrating is creation. Silence flowing is love. Silence shared is friendship. Silence seen is infinity. Silence heard is adoration. Silence expressed is beauty. Silence maintained is strength. Silence omitted is suffering. Silence allowed is rest. Silence recorded is scripture. Silence preserved is our tradition. Silence given is initiating. Silence received is joy. Silence perceived is knowledge. Silence stabilized is fulfillment. Silence alone is fulfillment.